Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner,
what you talking about, New York and Eke?
New York and Eke is talking about some World War II GIs, but black GIs and Americans, so the opposite of Dunkirk, but in England.
Oh, fantastic. I'm glad you're talking about that, getting us over to the old land.
Yes.
While you're here in the new land.
Newish.
New York is kind of new.
I mean, compared to England, it is.
And compared to old York.
Yeah.
There is a York over in England.
Yeah. Do they call it Old York?
I do. When I go over there, I'm like, hey, Old York. You old. Well, Eke, I got you.
Okay.
I got you. Pow.
All right. You've been getting me in New York.
I have. Okay.
So what are you going to do for the podcast?
The podcast. Is that what we're doing right now? I thought we were just gabbing.
Like,
it's just a gabby gab gab. Speaking of, Gabrielle Union's coming in here.
Oh.
Hey, Gabby. Well, we have a retraction about being Mary Jane. To talk about later.
Okay, we're going to talk about that.
And then I'm also going to be talking to you about new hit show coming down the pipeline from HBO.
Uh-oh.
It's going to take you on a tailspin. It's going to be a wacky, zany adventure. Oh, over Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Here comes
the
Confederate.
No thanks.
Well, let's have an open discussion because we don't know all the facts. Maybe the time is to tell the tale.
It could be tasteful.
Maybe it's the time to tell the tale about the Confederate.
Probably won't.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. We'll have a discussion about it.
No. Well, shall we go over into these places?
We're in a New York minute, so we better go now. Start spreading the news. Eke's in town.
I'm in New York.
Y'all, New York and Eke is here.
Yes.
She is ready. She is stomping up and down the streets.
Just like every street is my runway.
She is just moving it and grooving it.
Every district here in New York is my fashion district.
It's all the time. It's fashion week. All the days.
All the days, all the times, all the places.
All the places. So it's so great to have my bestest right here.
You know what, you guys? I just have to tell you, James has been hooking it up from the minute that I got off that goddamn plane. James has been helping me out, getting around, showing me around town, showing me the sights.
Because y'all know what my inner nickname is.
What's that?
Dina Lohan. So I will Dina Lohan her life. I get picked you up the Penn Station.
Yes, you picked me up from the Penn Station. Well, first of all, got to tell you about my flight over.
Oh, yeah. How did you get here? What was that adventure like?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I took
Virgin. Not delightful, I'm taking it.
It was not. Okay, so it wasn't, like my husband likes to say, I hate travel.
She don't like it.
I don't like traveling.
Can she just be there? Sedate her and teleport her, get her there.
If I could materialize in a place, I would love it.
Get on that, tech kids.
Figure it out.
Now.
So I had to take a plane because we're still in the past. And I picked Virgin Airlines because they're the most futuristic
out there.
It's fun.
It makes you feel like you're on a rocket ship.
I know.
But you got to pay for everything extra.
Yeah,
you want headphones? Better pay for that. You want a sandwich?
Better pay for that.
They will not do any service.
No, they don't give you any free snacks, which is a problem. Or free, they had satellite TV, which was all right. But, so, I get on this plane. The flight was beautiful. Thank you, captain guys.
You got to watch that video by Todrick Hall in the very beginning.
Yes, it was gorgeous. You know what I realized?
It's very diverse.
Yeah, it's very diverse. And there's this one kid who walks up with a deep voice.
Yeah.
That's the kid from Black-ish as a little tiny baby.
That makes sense because every time I see that video, I'm like, damn, this kid is hella talented.
And he's on Black-ish now and he's like 10 years older than he was.
The video is hella old.
I know, that video
is old. They have been using it for a good while. But you know what?
It's still catchy as
hell. It mesmerizes me. And part of me is a little, you know, I got a little side jealousy every time I watch it.
Because you want to be in it.
I mean, Todrick Hall and I had very potential similar careers. I could have been, he could have been me. I could have been him.
You could have been we.
We could have been we.
I almost cry every time I watch it because what? Just really good theater makes me cry. And it's just really exciting. That's and it's really, really diverse.
Before the plane takes off, and I get so moved. Tadra Call, if you're listening.
I almost cry a little bit.
Her little video, her educational video.
Okay, so.
Yes.
I just wanted to point out that the plane was excellent. The plane ride was excellent.
Good job, Virgin. Richard Branson, good job.
Good job, Richard Branson. Good job, captains. Good job, flight attendants. Everybody was really kind. Because I've had some bitchy flight attendants before. Ooh. That had been one spilled orange juice on me and it was terrible. Oh. But that's a whole nother story for another day.
Do you think the Virgin America, they're always young. Do you think that they just get like, it's, I feel like
that's true.
I feel like they're, but do you think that maybe they like whisper, don't get paid as much as some of the other flight attendants and some of the other ones?
I feel like they get paid more than other ones because they're always happy. They always seem content and happy to be at their job, whereas like you go to places where you get a flight attendant that
Delta,
is curmudgeon.
Delta.
They probably get paid shit. They don't want to be there. You know?
Okay. Well, we are definitely not getting any sponsorship from Delta anytime soon.
You but love Virgin, a Delta, though.
I actually am a Delta frequent flyer mile.
See?
You get free flights on Delta.
They're not nice on Delta, though.
I know, but I'm not there for the niceness. I'm there for the movies.
I am there for the niceness.
Oh, okay. All
right. I like a nice hello, welcome.
I'm going to get to where I'm going no matter what.
I tried to open a little package and the lady walked by and was like, I know it's hard, isn't it? And I was like, yep. And she tried to, I was like, I got this. So it was nice.
Okay.
The problem with this damn flight
yes.
were the people on the flight.
Who was there?
1,000 children.
Okay. You are the Children's Express.
I get it. I get it. You're a parent. You're flying with kids. It's tough.
It is.
But you know what?
What?
There's a couple of things. I mean, I'm not a parent, so all of our listeners that were parents are probably like, okay, calm down, non-parent.
Yeah. Yeah, non-parent.
There was one kid behind me whose parent let this kid tap the touch screen, basically punch the fucking
the screen
the whole 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fucking annoying.
So what would you want to say to that parent if they were here right now?
Tell your damn kid that it's a touch screen and you could touch it.
You ain't got to punch it.
You don't got to punch it.
Yeah, don't
and
punch
also,
it.
Parent, be a little bit more respectful. It's easy to be like, no, Timmy. Soft touch.
Tiny Tim,
especially
you want
when
a Christmas, you better soft touch it.
When I'm looking around at you like 5-6 times, don't just look back at me, ice cold woman.
But Aneke, in your own defense.
What is this?
Wouldn't you have said something?
I didn't want to be, okay, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something that we could talk about on the podcast.
Let's talk about it.
I'm always a little afraid of coming off as that angry black woman.
Yeah, and I totally hear you and I say hear that, but then you end up getting Tiny Tim punching you in the back of your head.
I know.
So it's sort of like, I think that Aneke, those of us who know you, know you.
Yeah.
And fuck this other person because they don't know you and that's on them.
It's
and
true.
You ain't got, you. It's none of your business what other people think of you.
I know.
It's none of your business.
I know it's the truth, but I'm just saying that's probably the reason why I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I did say something to my neighbor though.
Okay, good.
My neighbor who was finger combing her hair and kept coming out with loose strands of hair.
And putting it on you.
And casually just dumping it onto my lap.
Okay.
Absentmindedly.
Okay.
So that's disgusting. So I said, can you stop that? And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And then I felt more sorry for her, even though I feel like this is something that you could have curbed. Her son was loud as shit.
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing headphones and he was maybe about 6 or 7. Enough old enough to say please or thank you.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I was full of please and thank yous at that point.
You were young beyond your years, or wise beyond your years.
I was polite.
She was an advanced
polite at the right time.
That's true. Yeah. And look what that got. And look at you now.
I was probably a delight to sit next
probably.
To on a plane.
They're like, look at this cute little Rudy Huxtable, dare I say. Rudy, is that you? Was that what that was? It gargled out of your voice. Okay, Rudy.
Well.
Yes.
This kid, every hour, so I couldn't even take a damn nap, would wake up and be like, Mom! Mom, I'm hungry. No thank yous. No pleases. Interrupting her damn movie so he can order some snacks on the thing.
Was he like up on the screen like punching it?
Yes.
On her screen.
On her screen.
She's watching, you know,
whatever.
Shades of Lady.
She was watching a lot of Fox News, but you know what?
Okay. You know, we all got to live this country together.
Maybe she was just keeping up on the enemy. Who knows?
You know, I saw some POC man and he was just watching on my flight to to San Francisco. He was watching Fox News the entire time, and I just wanted to, like, he fell asleep to it, and I just wanted to be, like, and the things that were going on, I just, like, you know, it's all
ridiculous. He likes to go to sleep in terror.
I want to not have any good sleep on this airplane.
I know. Okay, so last but not least, when I was on the plane, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this movie called Nocturnal Animals. Tom Ford. So he's sexy.
I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He is a designer of suits, menswear and perfume.
And so he's in the movie?
No, he directed it.
Oh, he directed it.
Yeah, he's foray into cinematic stuff.
Do you thank Tom Ford?
And it was super artsy. Mm. And okay, so he did that. And I was thinking, this is going to be good. I think it was nominated for some Academy Awards.
It sounds familiar. I've heard of her. Mm-hmm. Nocturnal Animals.
So I was like, I'm going to be sophisticated and watch this thing.
On your flight to New York.
On my flight to New York.
Because you're being a sophisticated lady.
Amy Adams is in it. She's very sophisticated.
She's very sophisticated.
Jake Gyllenhaal is sophisticated actor.
He do his best.
So it's like 10 in the morning. So I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. It starts... Remember, I'm surrounded by children.
Lots of children.
It starts with slow motion women of a later age, probably like a 60s, naked, overweight, holding sparklers and cowboy hats, slowly dancing.
Kids gotta learn in a day. You know my answer to this. And what's the problem? They need to learn about the female form and all of its ages, shapes, and sparkly forms. Sometimes old ladies like to get together, take off their clothes, and hold sparklers.
It went on for so long, James.
I bet like any minute, you're like, this will end any minute.
Yes.
This will end any minute.
Yes. And the whole time I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stick to my guns. I want to watch this movie. But the whole time, the stupidest thing is just like gyrating boobs. Slow motion gyrating boobs.
I feel like usually they like edit out some of that for the flights because they don't want innocent.
They left it in. Virgin like, is like, you get it all.
Virgin is like, their theme, I believe, is kids gotta learn. So.
Here's the thing, though. Mm. Tom Ford, I'm looking at you. This had nothing to do with the movie at all.
It was his artistic expression.
It's literally the only... It's like Amy Adams owns an art gallery, and that's the art show that it starts on. You never see these gyrating boobs ever again for the rest of the film. I'm like, why the fuck you do this, Tom Ford?
Well, I think in that case, everybody is all about tent poles and universes. Clearly, he's creating a cinematic universe of his own. So that's a prequel that's coming. So he's just laying down the tracks for future movies. So you'll get to their story later.
It just felt weird and also exploitive. Because, like, why are you going to have these naked older women gyrating around? It almost felt like you could, if you're trying to be, like, artsy or specific, to be like, oh, it's a comment on American, like, bodies and appeal, and we need to, like, value older bodies and bodies of different shapes.
Was that what was he doing?
No, I think it's Tom Ford just having a laugh because he's kind of a fashion dick.
Okay.
You know? Because it just felt exploitive, especially since it didn't have anything to do with anything.
Okay. Well, I can't comment because I don't know him. He is... The jail is my Mariah Carey. I don't know her. So, but I'll take your word for it.
I know.
So Tom Cruise. Wait, no, not Tom
Cruise.
Okay. Tom Ford was side-eyeing you.
Yeah, I need to know why it was there and why that was there. Like, why did you do this? Literally had nothing to do. It was just the art exhibit in Amy Adams' art gallery. Wow. And then it goes off onto another tangent about Jake Gyllenhaal writing a novel and some crazy hillbillies.
So that was the rest of the movie.
No black people. No people of color at all in the movie.
Are we surprised?
No.
Okay.
Because it's right. Tom Ford. Tom Ford, what are you doing?
Well, clearly not casting any black people, but having a lot of naked ladies.
I need to see one of his fashion shows. Okay. Because I bet he doesn't use any people of color.
I mean, I was going to say, do you really need to see it to see that? But that way you can, like,
then
back up your thesis about Tom Ford.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because right now I'm side-eyeing him a little bit.
Can we circle to, I'm glad you made it safe. Just for time's sake. A lot of things to talk about. Glad you made it safely.
Yeah, thank She's you. Here. I'm here. I did get lost on the subway.
Yeah,
she did. But James picked me up at Penn Station.
Picked up Penn Station.
There might have been some tears.
There were some tears involved, but you know what? Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know you're in New York when you cry.
It's
and like,
it's
when you
not
cry,
a good
Oh, it's so, but it's true. Like, you're on your way to, like, being, like, a full, I wouldn't, like, a person who can be in New York.
Okay.
Because being in New York involves tears. Like, anybody who says other, like, it's absolutely true.
You're this gonna city, cry.
And just like in the summer, it can be sunshiny in one moment and it could be raining the next. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your life here in New York. You can be on cloud nine one moment and you're gonna cry the next. But it's that you push through and you survive.
You persevere.
You persevere, right? Mm-hmm. You could have been like, I'm going back home. And you didn't.
I didn't want to get on another plane. I'm here now. Yeah, with I'm all traveling.
Those children and whatnot. You muttered something to me.
What did I mutter?
Because here's the thing. I have been kind of staying away from the global news. I see little tidbits when I'm at the gym or different like sources that I look into. But I'm in so much of like just taking care of my own mental headspace and then empowering all of y'all listeners. But there is something really important that you jabbed to me.
Yeah. I think I didn't, I like screamed it at you. I didn't
she
really
did.
Mutter
she was like,
it.
Ah! This thing is happening. And so we've bankrolled. Is that how the kids say it?
We've sure.
Backlogged, bankrolled, put some episodes in the can.
Yes. So we can have a little bit of extra buffer space, but that means we're behind the times in current news.
So this could be maybe a review. Maybe you didn't know about this, or maybe you're wondering about our thoughts or opinions about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's discuss briefly.
Okay, so Trump, and I have some more information for you too that I found out, because Trump is a fucking idiot.
Is he?
So
I didn't know. Is that the first news tidbit? You heard it here first.
Okay, so Trump effectively sent out three tweets banning our transgender community from the military.
Right.
And
but these are just tweets. Like, these, his tweets aren't royal decrees. It's not like...
Kind of. He's the president.
I know, but, like, that would have to be passed somehow. Like, he can't just do, like, an order, I believe, right?
So, the thing I'm a little confused about, because basically Washington is scrambling now.
Mm-hmm.
So, there were... So, from what I understand is there were talks to minimize... basically, they want to save money. That's their whole theory, is that they want to save money from whatever medical expenses that transgender soldiers apparently use for the military or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not the full case.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's like some other negotiations that were happening and Trump totally got it wrong.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that the negotiations were like peaceful and fair and wonderful either. That whole shit is just, it's their softer version of discrimination versus Trump being blatantly discriminatory.
I just want to make sure I'm on the same page in terms of, so the theory is, this is probably stemmed from like Breitbart News or something. So there's, I think that there's a theory that transgender folks join the military just so they can then go get free medical services.
I mean, I haven't heard that, but I'm sure they say that.
Okay, yeah, that's something that I had heard, that there's this huge theory that, like, they just joined so that way the government will pay for their
Which is so idiotic.
Like, who would then go and risk, like, I mean...
I'm going to get this surgery and then I'm going to go get killed over fighting for this country.
But before
that
you still have
me.
To make it through your fucking training. That training is fucking brutal as fuck.
Yes.
And then you're actually first going to probably go serve a tour over in Iraq. And then at that point, like, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, you fucking went over there and fought for your country. But like, that's such an idiotic, crazy fucking theory.
It's an idiotic, crazy theory, and they already proved it wrong.
Yeah.
Where basically they spend more money on Viagra for soldiers than they do on any sort of medical need that a transgender soldier would use.
And probably more so than any other medical need that any of our female troops would use as well. You know?
Yeah, well, it's like, I think they use, like, I think what I saw was transgender soldiers cost, like, $2.4 million for the military, and Viagra and erectile dysfunction is $4.42 million. So it's huge.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Somebody even said that Trump costs more to taxpayers than transgender soldiers do. And he's only been in office for, what, 7 months?
Yeah.
So the whole thing is bullshit. The whole thing is him trying to be a bully, trying to get after fear-mongering. And also I heard it's a way that he can get money for the wall. the border wall. So it's all a bunch of hate, bunch of terribleness. And then on top of it, his tweets caused the Pentagon to freak the fuck out because he wrote a tweet saying, like, I'm going to write about the military. And so they were worried for 9 minutes that he was going to issue a strike against North Korea, which then put North Korea on notice. And they've been saying, Daily Mail, which is, like, you know, bullshit, but still, they've been saying that North Korea then was like, we're gonna strike America today, which is the day that we're recording this, which is 3 weeks ago.
Right.
But
people are like, today? You gotta get to my underground bunker. I don't have one.
So yeah, so the whole thing is just bullshit in a way to just like make our, make each other, all of us hate each other and cause discord and cause all of this fraction between all of us. It's fucked up.
I have 2 points.
Yes.
I want to play devil's advocate here. Just kidding. I don't. I don't at all. But I do want to bring up 2 points just to add on to this. 2 things. One, I think there's a lot of fear mongering that's happening here as well.
Yes.
Even if, like, I gotta say, like I just to everybody, we are the most protected country in the world. We have the most weapons. We have, like, 3 times the amount of Russia.
Oh, you're talking about North Korea right now.
Yeah. Okay. Like, they're just, like, not a threat. Like, even if they were to shoot something off, we have, like, we have weapons that we probably don't even know about. Right. That would be like, boop, that's already been handled.
I mean, it would be like if they managed to get a bomb over here. This is what I tell myself in the middle of the night when I'm having, like, existential crisis.
No wonder you can't sleep.
I know.
This is not what you should be thinking about.
But, okay, but I tell myself that even if they were to get a bomb over here.
Okay.
Yes, there would be a bomb here, but then they would immediately be destroyed.
It would just.
Why would they want to do that?
And that's the thing is that no one, if you go to war with the United States, we're, like, again, we're as fucked up as this country is. Like, everybody, we're, and oh, our international listeners, we're so blessed. You're so blessed, though, to be born in this country because we are so fucking protected and safe.
Yeah.
You've got 2 oceans on 2 sides.
Right.
Canada and Mexico between us. Like they're not going to come. Like, and if you fuck with the U.S., you then go to war with the rest of the world. And nobody wants to do that unless they have a death wish.
Or unless they turn against us slowly, which they kind of are because we have a stupid-ass commander-in-chief.
But you also have to look at, like, here's one of the hugest things. Like, think bigger, larger than Trump. The new empires are businesses.
That's
and
true.
Businesses are, most of the businesses are set into in America. And so you don't, no one wants to fuck with those businesses because they have ties to all these other different countries. Kind of just, like, grit our teeth and deal with this guy who I don't really know this for sure, but a lot of things that he says, like, he needs Congress's approval to get most of the stuff that he wants to get done passed.
But that's the scary part, because we have that's why I've been saying we need to flip 2018 vote. Because right now we have everything's Republican.
Yeah.
We have no checks and balances right now.
Right. But I want to applaud everybody. We have been, like, think about what we've been fighting for with healthcare. Like, we've been shutting that shit down. Like, the protests and stuff that have been happening. People have been calling in to their senators. Like, people are doing the work. So continue to do that. Because had we not been, the healthcare would have already been disassembled. Like, everything that he's tried to do, like, he's had 7 months of not really anything. Like, when he tried to do the travel ban, like, it got banned. Like, it is working into a sense. Like, everyone keep doing the work. And also, like, I think on the other side, especially because, like, he's, like, threatening to, like, fire Jeff Sessions, his attorney general, and all this sort of stuff. I think, and if you think of, like, healthcare, something just isn't adding up to me. Like, why? I think that there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies who have hands into, who are whispering in Donald Trump's ear that are trying to get something passed. Like, they don't like a bomb. Like, what is the huge, like, right now they're talking about not even repealing or replace. They're just talking about repealing it. So.
Because they can't agree. All the Republicans are divided, which is good. We want them to be discorded right now because it keeps us in a place where we still have Obamacare.
Totally.
But I think it's that they want the tax break. The whole point of changing is the tax break for the rich.
Sure. But I think it's not, like, I think it's even bigger than, I think pharmaceutical companies, like, benefit not from Obamacare. Like, I think they want that destroyed because they will make more money from it not even existing. I also think that a lot of this, like, I don't know, I think that it's, I think by him striking up the I'm going to ban transgender folks from the military also just reeks of distraction to me. Like, I think
it
just reeks of distraction.
It's distraction and it's multi-level.
From the Russia stuff.
Oh, it's distraction from the Russia stuff, And it's also getting America to be disjointed because everybody was coming together because they're seeing how much of an idiot he is and how terrible and how fraction it is. Mm-hmm. So he's going to plug in to what America knows how to do, which is hate. Mm-hmm. And so you then get a group of people that still is like, I still don't understand why people don't have compassion or empathy, but there's still a lot of people who are like afraid and don't know and they're scared. And so that taps into that notion mm-hmm. and that causes us to spin out of control for that.
Yeah.
So what I really want to do though is for us, those of us that are on the same side listening to this podcast, because I highly doubt that, I mean, but still we need to support and rally around our transgender siblings.
Yep.
Show them love. But then also keep fighting. Vote. Don't just say like, oh, here's a filter on my Facebook profile. Go vote. Flip shit. Flip the Senate. Flip the Congress. Flip the House of Representatives or whatever the fuck. We need to get Democratic representatives in there. So we need to get Mitch McConnell out.
I say yes to all that, but I just want to also like be truthfully like, the gerrymandering in this country is so fucked up that flipping, especially the House of Representatives, is going to be, like, a huge challenge. Not to say that's not impossible, but it's going to be a huge challenge. And I think, like, that's why, like, continuing to call your representatives and things like that. Like, mm-hmm. even if, like, your representative is an incumbent Republican, it's going to be really hard to get him out. Just staying on him and being active in the other ways that you can continue to be active in your country, other than, like, in continue to have conversations with people and creating art and doing all the other ways of continuing to get your voice out there and to strengthen and fundraising for different organizations that need your help, whose funding is going to be cut. Because I guess I'm just not as optimistic that, like, we're going to completely get control of all of the things. I think the Senate we can do much more easier.
I'm not saying I'm optimistic. I'm just saying that I'm saying it so it might have a possibility of doing it. Yeah. You know, I think the whole thing, I definitely think like, yeah, of course we need to like do everything that you were saying. But if I don't say something about voting, I feel like I'm doing a disservice mm-hmm. because there's so many people that don't vote. And I think that we're in a crisis now that if you are listening to this podcast and you don't vote, it's time to vote. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Totes. Well, let's get into the episode. Okay.
American GIs in England.
Yeah. Oh, we're recording?
Yeah, we're recording right now.
You didn't give me no countdown?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got casual.
Wow. All right, in it.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready now.
Okay. Well, I just feel like I've been really thinking about World War II because of Dunkirk, the movie that came out.
Mm.
And basically the representation in England. I was really kind of confused about that.
I mean, I saw that trailer and I just was like, I mean, I have a hard... I'm always like, why are we just telling more stories about white people doing white things? And especially because, like, you can go through the backlog catalog of our Minority Corner episodes, and you've got, like, there's several movies that could be done of stories of other folks whose stories have not ever been told. So
right.
I was giving a little side eye to this, and I don't know, like, from my understanding,
yeah.
Black people were living in England.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah. So here's one of the cool things is, like, I mean, this is a side story from what I'm going to get into.
Oh, yeah.
But I did talk to my dad, because my dad is a political scientist. And I asked him.
Go to the source.
Yeah. And he likes World War II. So I was kind of like, well, not likes it. He isn't like, you know,
he's like, doing ooh, scrapbooks about it. You know what was my favorite time of the year? World War II. Give me more of that.
No. I guess interested in the topic would be the better.
Yeah. He has an interest in it.
Yeah. So I asked him, I was like, well, I know that in World War II for American soldiers, we were segregated.
That was happening.
But I don't know what was going on in England.
And we're also cut from World War II movies. But I guess that's because they're just focusing on the white folks.
There have been some black movies with the black troops, but there needs to be more.
Pearl Harbor, Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it. Did you ever see the movie Pearl Harbor?
Did not.
It was like, really? You never saw that?
No, I didn't.
With Ben Affleck,
yeah.
Liv Tyler, Josh Hartnett, and they shoehorn Cuba Gooding Jr. in there at, like, last minute. Because he was starting to get all this, like, Oscar, like, attention
right,
and buzz.
Yeah.
And he has, like, no scenes with, like, anybody else. And he just sort of, like, does his own thing. And then it literally becomes just a love story. It's a love story.
Right.
With Pearl Harbor in the background.
I always confuse Pearl Harbor with Armageddon because
they're kind of the same story,
though. What's her face?
Liv Tyler.
And Ben Affleck.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Good point. I'll tell you this. If you've seen Armageddon, you've seen Pearl Harbor. Because isn't Armageddon's like a love story with comments?
Yes.
I was of the faction. I'm just going on this huge heart tangent. But I was like of the Deep Impact. Like, you know, they came out.
Yes.
Thank you. They came out at the same time.
They did.
Why did you like Deep Impact over Armageddon?
Which one had Bruce Willis in it?
Oh, Armageddon.
Oh.
Because Deep Impact had What's-His-Face as the black president.
Oh,
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman's
it.
Always a good president.
He's such a great president. The reason why I like Deep Impact more was because it had a more global presence to it.
See, that makes more
and
sense.
And you got to see different vignettes of different people being affected by
I
it.
I like that.
And a lot of people died when the comet hit.
See, that's scary to me. That's probably why I didn't watch either one of them.
Oh, you didn't see either. You just watched the trailers.
I got a fear of bombs and comets.
Bombs and comets. I mean... I'm not going to say they're an irrational fear because they, I mean, actually.
It's a little irrational.
I mean, but actually, I have a fear of this. It sounds terrible, but like last night, like, because you're here in New York.
Yeah.
Since there's a lot of planes that are flying over, and I get nervous sometimes that, like, I wake up in the middle of the night, there's a plane, and I'm just like, oh my God, what is that?
It's scary.
And then it turns out it was my meditational sleep music.
Oh. It was that going, doesn't sound relaxing for meditation. Why was it grinding at you?
I was like, what is that? I was for like 3 minutes, and then I figured it was
sounds
my
like an
old-timey
music. Plane, too, not even like a current plane.
Puts me right to sleep.
Oh, man. Okay,
back,
so
yes,
back to the, but we're not, we're still in the pre-subjects.
Oh, God.
So.
Okay, all right.
Quickly. The pre-subject was that there weren't that many black people in England. There were black people there, but there weren't that many. And people of color, let's just roll that in because there's Indian and other people.
Lots
so,
of people.
Because there's Hong Kong and India were both.
Yeah. If you were imperialized by them, they had people coming back there
exactly.
too.
So, they didn't segregate because there weren't that many to segregate.
Okay.
But they did do kind of a little bit of a segregation where they would have their countries, their commonwealths, had their own troops.
So like the Cornish and the...
No, like the India troops or like West African troops.
Oh.
So that was kind
of
their...
Oh, they did it by their nation.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, not commonwealth. So you see what I mean.
Yep.
So, okay, but one thing that I did learn that I really want to talk about is that my great uncle, Oswald...
Hi, Oswald.
Such a cool name.
That is dope.
He
served. Your son's name's going to be.
Oswald.
He should totally name your child, at least a middle name.
So cool.
I'll take a vote for that. But he served.
He served.
That's fucking amazing.
For the British Army.
Wow.
Yeah. And ended up meeting his wife in England, who is Australian. And then he moved to Australia. And but he had to move to Australia passing for white. Because
Whoa.
Australia was fucking racist and wouldn't let black people immigrate to the country.
Which, I mean, that's a whole other fucking conversation.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
But just, like, it's really, like, also, from what I know about the history of Australia, England was like, goodbye, convicts. And then the convicts took over and were like, get the fuck out of here, Aboriginals.
Yes.
That's so dumb.
I know.
I mean.
Come on.
Does nobody see the error of these ways? Does nobody see this?
Okay, well, speaking on that topic.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so. Which had me thinking about, well, I'm American.
You are.
And
as
also,
apple pie.
My grandfather actually, so not my great uncle, my grandfather, who is my father's father, he served for American troops in the Battle of the Bulge. So he was an American GI over.
It's sorry.
A lot of people died.
I know. I'm sorry.
A lot of people died.
I still have a junior high school mind. You can't say Battle of the Bulge. I'm not going to get a giggle. It's what I'm battling all the time. In my pants.
All right.
Okay.
There,
but
you got it out. You got it out.
Done.
Okay.
So rewinding.
Yeah, he served in this big old battle.
Damn.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I was thinking,
That's crazy. My mind is boggled by that.
I know, right?
And just like picture, and like survived and lived.
Yeah, came back.
Tale.
Had my dad.
Fuck.
I know. So, okay. So a lot of American GIs went over to Europe, right, during World War II because a lot of the battles were happening over there. So I read this article in the Telegraph. Actually, my husband sent this to me, so.
Shout out to husband Aneke.
I know. Thanks, Andrew. It's from 2015. It's Telegraph, you know. And it's basically kind of a little bit of a review of this one book by Linda Heriou called The Forgotten, the Untold Story of D-Day's Black Heroes.
Damn.
So the interesting thing that I want to bring up is basically there were 130,000 black soldiers that arrived to Britain during Americans' involvement in World War II.
Right? Oh, wow. Wait, so this is Black Americans?
Black Americans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there was a lot of Black Americans going to England to fight. So many of which were the first Americans to arrive to England.
Yeah.
And a lot of these small towns in England had never seen Black people before.
Wow.
So generally when you're thinking as a Black person, if you're traveling through America and you go into a town that doesn't have any Black people in it,
you're a little frightened.
Exactly.
You're like, uh-oh.
Right.
Ah.
I wanted to bring up the point because this story is interesting because it's the flip of that.
They were like, welcome.
Yes.
Come on over here.
Meanwhile, protecting us from white American soldiers.
Right. Like, they were like, thank you, Black soldiers, for coming over here and saving the day. These crazy-ass white people over here are trying to kill us.
No. The white soldiers were beating up on Black soldiers.
Oh, the white soldiers were.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were doing, like, an allegory of, like, the Black people were saving the white people from the other white people, the Germans.
No. Nope. But yes, no.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get into the story.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, Churchill's war cabinet, they were racist, and they didn't really want the Black presence there. But British officials, they rejected that idea. And they were like, no, we need to have the U.S. Black Army here, because if we, and it was kind of political,
mm-hmm.
they were like, if we didn't have them involved and integrated into our towns, then British population, civilians, mm-hmm. would think it was un-British to kick them out.
Because did Britain have things like segregation?
No. There weren't that many Black people there to really segregate. So they were kind of like, most European cities, I kind of feel like, have like a, when you come here, you are that country.
Yeah.
You know? Assimilate, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so basically, knowing that white American troops did not like this, civil British servants kind of tried to introduce a type of segregation policy,
mm-hmm.
but, the British civilians were like, no, we don't like that.
Yeah.
So basically, just to kind of give a little backup, Black troops generally behaved more courteous than white troops.
Mm-hmm.
White GIs openly mocked British old-fashioned cars, their bad food, and poor plumbing. And they were such a terror on the British population that they came up with this phrase called overpaid, overfed, oversexed, and overhear. So, basically, white American GIs were going over to England and fucking shit up.
So, it also reminds me that white American people have been going overseas and being obnoxious for generations.
Yeah, it's in the DNA.
It's a tale as old as time. I mean, because, like, I feel like European travel wasn't that as common back in, like, the 40s. And
no.
So, to, like, already be
going over there, wreaking havoc. So, because Black Americans, you know, coming over, like, they behaved like decent human beings when they came over to England.
Yeah.
And they did things like, a lot of the British women liked Black GIs because they did not catcall them, whereas white GIs did.
Mm.
And a lot of people, in the book, they state that that's because Black men in America could be killed and lynched for that. So they came over, like, to England and were like, no thanks, don't want to do that.
You know, it almost kind of, again, talking about, like, privilege, and that even goes back to your plane ride.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, you were like, I'm not going to say anything because I, like, there's still that.
There's still that tie.
Still there.
I feel like people need to realize that there's this through strain of culture that we're all still a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
Yeah.
So George Orwell, 1984 writer.
Okay, what he got to say?
He wrote to the Tribune, he said, the general consensus of opinion seems to be that the only American soldiers with decent manners are the Negroes.
Wow.
Yeah.
George Orwell.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't perfect.
No, he isn't perfect. But you know what?
I'll take that, George Orwell. Thank you.
Okay, so while white GIs often would go into towns and they would be like, hey, can you segregate these Black GIs? Like, we don't want them in the pubs, the clubs, or the cinemas.
Mm.
They're like, we want to inflict American law onto these small towns. And they would often physically and verbally abuse Black GIs. So in June of 1943, there was a public outcry when four Black servicemen were refused service at a bar in Bath. So this caused, like, British public were like, okay, we're noticing this shit, and this doesn't feel right. This feels wrong.
They were like, we don't typically do this.
Right.
Not in this fashion.
Yeah, we're not in America.
Yeah.
So this started building and building and building until June 24th in 1943. The military police, some white military police officers who were wasted, started harassing some black GIs. Mm. They in a pub in Lancashire. So the locals who were fed up at this point, they got really upset, and the military police expected them to back them up, but instead they backed up the black servicemen.
Wow.
And this caused like a huge riot to start, where they chased away the military police, the white American military police, but then they came back twice.
Mm.
They were like, oh, we're going to try and frighten you guys, but the community still rallied around them and fought back with bricks and bottles.
Wow.
Against the military police.
Okay.
So more than 7 servicemen were wounded in the fighting, and 32 black GIs were later court-martialed. So between November of 1943 and February of 1944, 56 clashes happened.
Dang! Wait, what was those dates again?
November 1943 to February 1944. So
it's less than a year. It's about a year or so, right? Or less than a year?
November to February, was that 4 months?
Yeah.
Four months. And then, so 56 in 4 months.
That's a lot.
Yeah, basically they said an average of more than 4 a week.
Yeah.
Of white troops harassing black troops, and then the British public surrounding the black troops to protect them.
Which, this is gnarly to me.
Yes.
Because it's like,
how y'all, embarrassing.
Like, y'all came over here to do a job, and because you feel like you are being so infringed upon because you want to go to your bar, you want to go to your fucking movies without
right.
black people there, that you're over there to fucking fight Nazis.
Right.
And Italians.
Right.
Like, that's what you're supposed to be fucking doing, like fucking fighting these like fascist things. And you're like, I want to eat my popcorn without black people.
Exactly. Like, just to go off of what you said, G.I. Willie Howard, who was a black G.I. for the 320th Barrage Balloon Battalion, he stated, our biggest enemies were our own troops. So basically they're over there fighting Nazis, and we got to worry about white GIs being racist. So it's like, come on, Americans, calm the fuck down. Like, what the fuck is up with that? So, okay, just to add some niceness to the end of the story.
Oh, okay. Yay.
So among the British people who fought with the black GIs to defend themselves against racist American troops, black GIs often encountered other nice acts. Like, they were invited to join congregations. They were welcomed into pubs. They were even welcomed into homes.
Wow.
And, like, cooked homemade meals by the people of the community.
Yeah.
There were, however, this kind of makes me a little sad. There were a lot of GI babies.
Yeah.
Which happens.
That happens everywhere.
I know.
That happens everywhere.
I just wish that they didn't, like, knock up these women and then leave to go back to America. Like, be decent if they're being decent to you. But that's just a casualty of war.
It just sort of happens.
It happens.
It's how we all just get to know each other a little bit more. Or you put a condom on.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a baby, you should be wanting to know this baby.
But I feel like it was hard. They didn't have Facebook to keep in touch. Like, the wife couldn't be like, hey, I had a baby.
They have phones!
But, like, across the Atlantic?
Yes, this wasn't cave times!
I mean, it was the 40s. I mean, could you imagine
phones.
The collect call on that one? I mean, it's also a pricey phone call.
Anyways, aside from these babies.
Yes.
I'm just, it started, basically, there was already the civil rights movement was budding in America at this time.
This whole entire thing helped really kick it off, because it was like, listen, you have these black folks coming over there and, mm-hmm. and fighting in these wars, mm-hmm. They need to be fucking treated equally. You
exactly.
know?
It's almost, so they're fighting in the wars, they want to be treated equally, which is common sense.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they go to England, they get racist treatment by their own American troops,
ooh.
And then they have these foreign white people being like, stop it. So you go over to America and you go, wait a minute, we need to fix this shit.
This just needs to be fixed, yeah.
So I really want to commend all the British people during World War II who rallied around these black troops. Also, I want to commend the black troops, because like you said, we see all of these movies about white troops, and they were being fucking racist and terrible and abusing the people there, eating their food, laughing at shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that about all white troops.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that maybe we need to give more credit to our black troops who were segregated and treated like shit by their own troops who they're supposed to be fighting next to.
Yeah.
So, hello, Hollywood. Let's see this story.
Yeah, this story sounds way more interesting. And in fact, now every time I'm watching a movie that takes place in World War II, I'm also going to add in, and if I watch a movie that has a bunch of white people in World War II and only white people in it, I'm also going to add in the back of my head, mm-hmm. these people were all probably racist.
Yes.
Or a good portion, 3/4 of them.
Yes.
I'm going to wager, were probably also racist and obnoxious, especially if they're over in England. Know that they're doing some fuckery.
Let's break it down. So let's just say 1/3 of the troop was probably out and out racist. Let's just be honest. It was the time, it was the place to be. I would say another third.
Sexist.
I would say probably the other 2/3 were apathetic. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, my friend's racist, but I don't really want to say anything.
Yeah.
Which is racism.
It is, yeah. I mean, there's so many more other... That's why, like, there's so many more... I appreciate, like, Kathryn Bigelow's doing Detroit right now.
That yes!
Movie. Like, there's so many other stories to tell. And I think that also, like, again, for POCs and especially and black folks as well, we don't know our history, and our history doesn't get told. And
right.
I think that, like, again, when we tell these stories, it sort of empowers us... Because, like, we went over there and we were fucking awesome.
Yes.
Nobody wants to tell that. They just want to talk about, like, you know, the welfare queen, all this, like, you know, bullshit. And I feel like when you know, white people get to learn about their history, they get to learn about, like, ooh, ancient Greece and da-da-da.
Right.
And we're even erased from all those fucking narratives.
Exactly.
And they try to treat Egypt as if it was a part of Europe or something.
Right. No, it's in Africa.
To white them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
See this movie.
So we need to create more movies like this. We need to hear about the stories like this because, one, it shows us a positive light on black soldiers and the reality of what war was like to be an American soldier, both white and black.
Yeah.
And in England, the British local public people and who they rallied around. That's a very heroic story.
It's great.
You could get some white people feeling heroic off of that story.
Yeah.
So
I still say, this goes back to my point, America should have lost the American Revolution.
Then we just would have been Canada.
And what would be wrong
you know
with
what?
That?
Canada's sitting pretty right now.
Now.
Yes.
Some of you.
Me included?
Yeah, I think it's you too. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of you like to watch a little show called Game of Thrones.
Yes, that's me included in
And see, I got you.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Know, I'd be knowing you.
You know.
I knows you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gotta say, I feel like that show is so, I mean...
It's rapey and terrible. We all know this.
Which we talked about that a few weeks ago. But I also feel like it's also, like, nothing. Sometimes, like, nothing happens. Like,
takes a long time.
And it's just, like, it shouldn't. I mean, my time is too valuable. So anyways, showrunners David Benioff and W.B. Wise.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the showrunners for Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Game of Thrones is going to be wrapping up soon. I think it's got one more season and some movies or something. Or is this it? Is this it? Is this what they're doing?
They're in the middle of their second to last season.
Okay. So it's winding down.
Mm-hmm.
And HBO's like, we need another fucking show.
Yes.
And so they're like, all right, boys, what you got? And they were like, you know what? We got something for you, HBO. Now, imagine a place.
I hate this.
Imagine a place where the South never lost the Civil War, and we will call it the Confederates. Mm-hmm. So the story will take place. This is the story that they're developing. It's going to take place during the fictional Third American Civil War, and will show a world where slavery, go with us here,
I mean,
where
yeah.
slavery is still illegal and has continued into the modern era. Imagine a world. I don't have to imagine a world. I live in that world. Where are we going with this? And some of you are right thinking, like, but what are these white folks doing? Don't worry.
Okay.
Because they have two black executive producers and writers.
Yep.
Nichelle Tramble Spellman.
Mm-hmm.
She's from, she wrote Justified, and she was on The Good Wife.
Okay.
Haven't seen either of those, but I hear they're good.
I heard they're good, but I haven't watched them either.
And then there's Malcolm Spellman, which you might remember him from Empire.
Yes, they're married, too.
And they are a married writing power couple. And so the show is supposed to feature freedom fighters, slave hunters, abolitionists, politicians, and journalists. And so the creator said, there won't be dragons or White Walkers in this series, but we are creating a world.
Ugh.
So that happened. It's so interesting. Like every time I hear that about this story, like my stomach goes into knots. It goes into knots, and I just sort of think like, well, why? And before I think like, before, let's look at the other side. Let's maybe, can we try to imagine where, why they think that they're creating the show is a good idea?
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
So I'll go with you until you let me unleash.
Okay. All right. So, I think like part of their ideas is that they're trying to like similar to Handmaid's Tale and the man in that tower. The man in the ivory tower.
High castle.
Which is like if the Nazis, like it's this reimagining if the Nazis didn't lose.
Which I did not like.
And then there's the Confederate States of America. And so there's all these things. But I guess like it goes back to the thing of like, You don't have to imagine that world because it still sort of exists. Like the Confederate one still kind of exists. Mm-hmm. I mean, slavery still exists. It's just in different forms. They ended plantations and we ended up in prisons instead. You know?
I mean, even right after slavery, there was sharecropping.
And we've talked about that at length throughout a lot of our episodes.
I mean, the fucking flag is still being flown in this country.
Right. So I mean, it's still. They lost in a certain way that they don't have their own sort of country per se.
Right.
But I mean,
they're still here.
The Confederacy is still very much here.
I mean, the alt-right is still stomping around.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still absolutely freedom to do all that sort of crazy stuff. And there's still people who live in that fear that we're still being slave hunters.
Police.
Some of them are police officers. Right. Like, just got to kind of point it out, right? So it's sort of like, I guess then the idea is to show it into such an extreme to sort of make people wake up. And I'll come back to that, but I'm going to let them defend themselves.
Okay.
So here's some quotes from them. So the Benioff, one of the Game of Thrones producer-writer guys.
Doodads.
I'm in the industry. Shouldn't I know these terms?
I like the term doodad.
Casting couch director.
Gross.
Okay. Well, gotta get a part in it, okay?
Just ask. That would be so sad if you had to do casting couch for Confederate HBO show.
And you know what? I just want to say to all the black actors out there.
Don't do this.
Don't do this show. Better than this. Like, don't do this show. And I had to think about this, too. I was like, if I were offered a part in the show, would I do it? I would like to hope that the money's not that good.
Right. I mean, it is HBO.
Say no. He said, so everything is brand new and nothing's been written. I guess that's what was a little bit surprising. So he's talking about the outrage that was happening.
Got
right?
it.
So
yeah.
He's like, so I guess that's what's a little bit surprising about some of the outrage. It's just a little premature, you know? We might fuck it up, but we haven't yet. So that was his sort of thing of like, well, that does not make me feel more comfortable either.
It sounds like he doesn't know what the hell's happening.
Doesn't know what it is. In fact, a lot of the interviews that they've done, like, they were just sort of misquoting factual things about history and stuff like that. It's like, y'all had time to prep for these interviews, this outrage that's coming out. Nichelle, which is one of the, you know,
She's a
black lady writer. And a lot of people are suspecting that they put these black, because HBO knew this could be problematic, so they hired two black writers. So, in some ways, I do kind of appreciate that. Like, it's not just a bunch of white people at the table kind of writing these stories. So, I
like, that gives me a little bit more like, okay.
Because it would feel more uncomfortable the other way.
Yes.
She says, I do understand their concern. I wish their concern had been reserved to the night of the premiere on HBO on a Sunday night when they watched. And then they
made we're just supposed to sit quiet and wait until this fucking shit is filmed and done in the can?
And that's what she's saying. She's like, and then they watched an hour of television as to whether or not we succeeded in what we set out to do. And so they also talk about like, we have black aunts and uncles and yada, yada, yada. We're not Uncle Tom's, blah, 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 blah.
That's what an Uncle Tom's is. No, sorry.
What an Uncle, what, and Tamitha, and Auntie Tammy, Auntie Tam Tam. And so it's sort of like, I get it, but like you said, it's like, we're allowed to have opinions about things based on its sort of developmental process. And also to let y'all know, you're on watch.
Yes.
You are on fucking watch. Because the thing that I don't understand is that, like, you could tell a story about this, but you also, like, again, if you're a writer and you're on HBO or something, or you don't know what the next story is that you want to tell, listen to Minority Corner. I'm going to put that out there. We've got lots of historical stories for you to pull from so much more interesting. Or how about a reimagining of something else? How about a reimagining where slavery never happened? Whoa.
I know.
Or how about a reimagining of where white Americans never came to the Americas? And it's about Native or First Nations people. Like,
right.
You can take it in different ways. And I was reading this thing. I'm reading that book, what am I reading? That mom book?
The Four
Agreements?
Yes.
And one of the Four Agreements talks about be impeccable with your words. And it means, talks about like the power that our words have.
Yes.
Our words are essentially, we're able to either, because the book talks about how we're all in sort of a dream world and a dream spell. And we can either use our words to continue the spell or break the spell.
I like that.
And so when you're putting in like these things, like I would say even the Handmaiden Tale or the Man in the High Tower or a world where slavery still exists, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's why, like, you're putting a negative imagery out there that it has an effect on to think about the people that have to witness this.
Right.
No black person needs to witness or watch that world.
We don't want to.
We don't need to experience what our life might be like now if we were still in fucking slavery.
Right.
We don't need to see that. And there are people who this is literally just like pornography for them.
Right.
There are like Confederates and alt-rights who are going to be just jerking off to this.
They're
shit.
They're not going to see it for the allegory that they're trying to pump it as.
And what really annoys me is there was an actually interesting show that I didn't get around to watching, not being Mary Jane, sorry.
You and your digs.
I'm sure it's a good show. I've heard whatever Corner Kid says, it's a great show. It deals a lot of issues. Check it out, Being Mary Jane.
Yes.
But the show, The Underground, did you see the show?
I didn't because it's the slave thing, but it's supposed to be good.
But what I liked about that show is it was the underground and it was about the Underground Railroad. It wasn't
right.
like, and it was like, it was in that world, right?
Right.
It wasn't some like fictional da da da. Like,
right.
I kind of appreciated that someone took that story. I feel like I've never even seen a movie about the Underground Railroad.
No,
I
haven't.
Like, what an interesting, compelling idea.
Right.
Casting a lot of, like, black actors telling their story.
Yes.
And it got canceled after two seasons.
Which
and, like,
is a bummer.
That show seems way more important to tell than
this fiction
one.
Shit. I just feel like there's so many other stories and things out there. This is literally imagination. And we can do, obviously, from Game of Thrones, you can imagine anything. So why are we going to imagine when the Confederates won? Like, or properly succeeded, because they wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
So, let's try and use our brains and creative juices to do something that maybe isn't hurtful for the population that lives here.
Yeah.
Let's not revisit a terrible time that still has outlasting repercussions
right.
that we keep talking about.
Yeah.
Like you said, racists are going to jerk off to this. They're going to be like, yeah, I wish it was still that way. I bet in some circles, some white people have been wishing that they still had slaves.
Oh, I am sure. But the thing is, I don't need you to create a story and show me how terrible that it might be. I already know
we
that.
We live it!
And I don't need you to show me how the dots still connect, because, again, I already fucking know this. Go watch a documentary if you don't know that. It would be one thing if this country really acknowledge slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing, like, we've explained, like, you know, in Germany, they learn about World War II and its atrocities from
right.
a young age. They don't sugarcoat it. They
right.
learn every last detail.
We should do that with slavery.
And we don't do that. They even rename things, like, they barely call it the slave trade now in elementary schools. They call it, like, the transcendental trade route or something.
I mean, we fucking got Ben Carson talking about slaves as immigrants. So it's clearly trying to gloss over something that was horrible
mm-hmm.
to the fact where people of privilege,
yeah.
two white, rich HBO showrunners can be like, oh, I wonder what it would be like if the Confederates actually did get their way and got to succeed from the U.S. and have their own little southern country. Fuck you. That's a point of privilege.
Yeah.
That is an area of privilege to even be able to imagine something like that. It goes into the thing of whenever I'm hanging out with some friends and they're being fanciful and they go, oh, what time period would you want to live in? Nothing prior to 1970. Thank you very much. Because you know what? It fucking sucked to be black, and it sucked to be a woman, and it sucked to be queer, and it sucked to be anybody other than a middle class or rich white guy.
Yeah.
So fuck you, two rich white guys with that are like living off the ham of fucking. You could do anything you fucking wanted that, to do. Yeah. You have Game of Thrones, and that's what you picked to do?
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. You need more black friends.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I do think in their liberal white minds,
right,
I think that they think that they're doing something really good and cool.
Totally. Totally.
But, and I will say this, whoever was on that team that decided, like, okay, we're going to put two black people on the writing team as well, like, good move.
Good move.
Good fucking move. But I think, like you said something that made me really think about you can be so much more creative with your storytelling. If this is the story that you really would want to tell, be creative and be more imaginative about it. Set it in outer space.
Thank you.
And do some
Use
other,
an allegory.
Exactly. So then we can then draw the connections and see, like, oh my god, that'd be like really terrible, and you could
right.
you could set it in that way instead, and,
right.
And that way people can have a little distance from it. This
Thank
is
you.
Just too close. We haven't earned this as a country to do this type of storytelling. So, are you gonna? I mean, I don't even know that I'm gonna tune in.
I'm not. And also, here's the thing: I would like to point out that this isn't some. Game of Thrones was wonderful and beautiful depictions. Mm. They did a horrible depictions of women. Like, literally, I watched this scene. Game of Thrones has been tough for me to keep up with. The storytelling is fucking good, but that means I have to deal with a whole scene with a bunch of rape going on in the background as, like, a prop piece. Mm. So I don't trust them. And then, two,
because you know there's gonna be rape in this story.
It's gonna be terrible.
There's gonna be rape in it.
And not to mention, fucking the black characters of Game of Thrones are all, like, slaves that were freed by a white woman.
And a lot, yeah.
And all they do is bow down to her and call her mother. Fuck you, HBO, Game of Thrones showrunners. You don't know how to handle women or race. So I'm not going to trust you with this sensitive-ass story about the Confederate fake racist man wet dream. Two racist dudes probably got high and wanted to talk about it. And then they were like, oh, this might be a good show idea. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like weed conversation. Like yeah. sliding doors with the Civil War. What if I didn't go through that train door?
Whoa. So, don't need to see it. No thank you, ma'am. Back to the drawing boards. Stop smoking your weed and go come up with a different, better idea.
So many other ideas out there!
Okay, all right, Aneke, I got
Mad.
You. She is pissed. She's not going to your audition, but you know what audition she is going to? Like I said, I Dina Lohan Aneke's entire trip.
Oh, I'm
trip.
Not going to that.
Aneke's got an audition for a show hosting of an African show.
I think it already passed it, and I'm not going to.
Aneke arrived, and I was like, you've got auditions no. at 12.
Before I arrived, you sent me that thing.
I am your Dina Lohan. I need to jam-pack your schedule and see. Lindsay Lohan went to things she didn't want to go to, and look what she got to do. Mean Girls and Herbie.
I am 34.
You could do Mean Girls, too.
Mean oh, Women?
Mean Women. There it is. That's my baby girl. Well, we got an audition to go to, and it's not this Confederate show. Well, Aneke, before we close out this jam-packed episode...
I need something to cool my ass down.
Well, Holly Berry's coming back.
Okay, that's a nice cool drink of water.
Right? Oh my god, Holly Berry is coming back. Because Aneke was in town and she was like, have you seen... Because I first sent Aneke a photo. It was like, Holly Berry
right.
is back. And it was like this poster. It's called Kidnap.
I had no idea. You were the one that alerted me to it.
And so then Aneke was... Oh, I took a picture of the poster.
Yes.
She's got like... What I love of the poster. She's like slightly bruised in
so
one
weird.
Eye. But still looks beautiful.
And it says kidnap, which is scary as hell.
And she's, yeah, so she's like, oh, I've been kind of battered, but I'm still beautiful. It's Holly Berry.
Yeah.
Can't make her look ugly.
You can't. She no. just looks great.
And, so then Aneke's like, have you seen the trailer? I was like, nope. And after I dropped Aneke off at her hotel, I went straight to my room and I watched both trailers.
There's
of
two
kidnap.
Trailers?
There's
I only
two.
Saw one trailer.
Oh, there's
I thought
two.
Initially when you sent me that picture that Holly Berry was kidnapped. And I was like, ooh, what's
ooh.
This? Who's kidnapping this woman?
No, Holly Berry is a mom
yes.
with an adorable child.
Cute little baby.
And so
Kid.
The trailer is adorable because it's like sweet like baby music in the background. She's driving in her minivan and the baby's like, I love you, mama.
That
and
is not the trailer I watched.
So that's what
mine
I watched.
Was quick.
Oh, mine
They're
was...
like, here's the kid. Kid is gone.
Oh, in mine. Okay, this is great. We can compare notes because okay. in mine it starts off she's like, they're like, I love you, mama. And then she turns back and she's like, I love you too, baby.
This is too much.
It does it twice. Mommy, I love you.
And then she's why like, are they telling each other they love each other so much?
She's like, Google, baby. And they're just Googling
at each other.
Doing it all Holly Berry style, 1,000%.
Too much, all the time.
And then they go to the park and they're playing hide and go seek. And
yes, she's like, that's what I saw.
Where are you?
That's where the trailer where, I saw.
Is that it starts there?
Yeah.
Oh, where, I, the extended
well, she's
trailer.
Like with the kid and they're like, and then they go to the thing and she's like, where's the kid?
Yeah, and then there's like some white lady taking the kid.
Just takes this kid.
And then Holly Berry runs like the Dickens because she is, and oh, also sidebar, this is from like the producers of like Salt and something else action packed.
It's random. It isn't Jason Bourne, but it is something
it's
like
something
Salt.
Something like Salt and like Taken or something.
Taken.
Okay, yeah. So it's pretty much like combining Salt and Taken together.
But with Holly Berry.
With Holly Berry in it. So it's like, I'm in, right? And so then she's like, did you see this scene where she's like on the car, gripping it?
Yes.
Like she's supposed to be just like a minivan mom, but she is gripping
because
onto this.
Because you know what? You took the wrong kid.
You took the wrong kid. Do not take Miss Holly Berry's kid because she's going to come after you. So she's on that car and she's like, don't you take my son! And then the car swerves and little Miss Holly Berry mom goes rolling off.
I know.
Jumps into her car and it's a lot of like fast cuts, like Fast and the Furious.
It's a lot of chase scenes.
It's a lot of chase scenes and she's just like, you will not take Mike, and she's chasing them down.
And it is like this nasty beater car that she's driving after.
Driving up. And then she's like, oh, did you see the scene where then the cop tries to drive up next to her?
Oh, no.
Oh, in the extended trailer, the cop, I love her doing this review of this trailer.
Because so, that's all you need, basically.
We saw the movie. So then this cop comes and she's like yelling out the window. She's like, they took my baby! They took my baby! And then that car that she was chasing ends up next to her and the cop and runs them both off the road. That's when she goes to the police station and she's like,
and she's sitting there and the police is all casual and calm.
It's a black lady cop too.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, type two, doing the thing. And it's all dramatic with Holly Berry because she's doing 1,000%. And she sees every single kid in the kidnapped lost posters. And she's like, those parents were sitting in my seat too. I can't do this. And she runs out.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to let this happen to my baby. She gets in the car again, fast cuts. It's like her revving up the engine and then her foot on the pedal. Like it's literally, it's like, it's, I would say it's like Salt meets Fast and the Furious meets Taken.
Yes.
Like it's high octane and it's she's in a minivan too. And then she
really puts, but she got that turbo minivan.
And what
smart.
I love, she then sees that woman on the highway again and she starts the chase sequence. Starts
how did she find this
again?
Chase again?
I don't know.
That's the thing that I don't understand.
Is this woman just driving around in the freeway in circles? Don't know where to take this kid I just stole.
You know what? If I was a kidnapper, I would be like, this kid is not worth it. Take your child back.
Yeah, your mom is a little crazy.
I'm crazy because I'm a kidnapper, but I don't want to deal with that.
Your mom, yeah. So you know what? I'm jazzed because I feel like Holly Berry has reached that point in her, because she's like, she's doing like the Liam Neeson track.
She is.
Where like you can, and I feel like there's this new genre of taking like older actors, like veteran actors,
yes,
and giving them just sort of like those B-level type movies, but you're gonna make it amazing, like super.
Yes,
it's that movie's not about the plot. I'm sure the script is 15 pages long,
exactly,
and it's like there's it just says like car chase,
Holly driving,
yeah, and then she yells, she yells something, you get my, give me my baby, and then Holly drives. And then Holly jumps onto a vehicle.
Like, you know what? I am not against an action mom thing.
I think it's her turn. Because
she needs to grab her child and save the day.
We let Liam Neeson run around and do it, and now he's an action star.
I think Holly Berry, she actually is on the action star track because she's going to be in the new Kingsman movie.
She is. And I did see her other, I guess this is Holly Berry hour, because I did see Holly Berry
chugging that whiskey.
She is at Comic Con for the Kingsman thing. And like she has a huge, like almost like half a liter or like
it looks
a pint,
like iced tea.
A half a pint of quote unquote whiskey. And then she doesn't want to answer the question of like which is more British, James Bond or Kingsman, because she's been in both. And she's like,
she was in James Bond? She was in the Pierce Brosnan one. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Those still count as James Bonds.
Yes. I just wanted almost, to, I had to figure out
oh,
which
yeah, where,
Bond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
I had the same thought. I was like, wait, what's she? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She, this is when Holly Berry's at peak time because they're almost going to do the first James Bond spinoff of Jinx.
Right.
Her character Jinx. Yeah.
Poor Holly Berry. All these missteps for spinoffs.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. And so then they're like, she's like, no. She's like, well, then take a shot. And she's like, well, welcome my shot's this big old glass. And she's like, should I do, well, okay, 100%. I'm going to do it.
I know.
And then she chugs this whole entire thing and all the fans like lose their shit. What I do appreciate, she made like the disgusting face afterwards.
She acted. She does 1,000%.
And this goes back to my theory of Halle Berry, I think, and like if you notice, like everybody on the panel loves her.
Yes.
I think Halle Berry is a beautiful, wonderful
person.
She's
really nice.
I think she's really nice. And I think like that goes to show in the industry, if you're just a nice person who works hard and shows up on time, is not a diva.
I am reading between the lines right now.
What? Because as an acting teacher, I used to tell my students, I was like, being professional is like 90% of the job.
It's true.
And I think Halle Berry is a professional. She's nice. You know, she's maybe not always the best person for the job, but they're like, we do need a black woman. We like her. We'll cast her.
She's also pretty privileged. She's beautiful.
She's also beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Nice and wonderful and great to work with. So it's like, I'll be there.
I know.
I'll be there at the Thursday 7 o'clock. I already looked. Tickets are already on sale for Thursday night.
Really? You're that excited for this thing?
I just love that they're pre-selling these. Like, it's like a...
Who is buying this pre-sell for Taken?
Oh, it's at 7 and 10. Oh, a tasteful time. Because mom's got to go back, you know?
I know. You can only get a babysitter for so long.
And also, not Rashida Jones... Taraji P. Henson.
She has an action movie where she's an assassin.
She is. So,
in wigs.
She's an assassin in wigs. I mean, just think it's fascinating of where it's a good time.
We need
this.
We need black ladies kicking ass and taking names.
It is happening. So it is a good time to be a black
Where's
lady.
My tent pole?
It's coming.
I'm ready.
It's coming.
I'm going to punch people.
You'll be in Taken 2. And you'll play
Electric
Halle
Boogaloo?
Berry's daughter.
Old daughter?
Yeah, she's like...
Halle Berry does not want to play my mom. She's going to be
well,
pissed.
She'll
she's
be
like,
lucky
she's
to
like,
have
who's
the,
this old
she'll
ass
She'll be lucky
woman?
To have the part. Okay, and okay. She's a woman of a certain age, you know?
True. She
so
could be my mom. She could have had an early child.
She could have. Maybe that's the plot line. They're like, you stole my baby. And then it's like a Thelma Louise thing. So you two are going on the road because you're like, and you took my mom from me.
Maybe I have to get her back because she's stolen.
She got stolen. And she never
like
got
this.
Her kid from the other time. So you're following her. She's following the kid. And it's
I'm the kid grown up.
Oh, and she's chasing you.
Or I'm trying to get her back.
Yeah, it was. You're like, Mom, I'm right here.
Now it sounds like Ghosts.
Okay. Well, I think that's the show.
That was good.
Thank you, Halle Berry, for
Thanks,
that ride out.
Don't watch Confederate.
Don't watch that.
Research World War II.
And I'm on the fence of, like, if you want to go see that Dunkirk thing, I mean, go see it. I'm not giving it my money. I'll wait time on a flight somewhere to catch it.
I have HBO. It'll probably come on HBO at some point. I'll watch that on HBO.
Watch
Insecure on HBO instead.
That's coming out.
It's already out.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think they're doing a free preview.
That's over.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Damn.
But
someone should have reminded me. Why didn't you text me?
I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were in it. To it.
Yeah, of course. I used to watch it. What it used to be called, The Adventures of Awkward Black Girl on YouTube.
I know.
So I was the early adopter, but I ain't got no HBOs.
Do you got a friend with HBO Go?
You.
Okay. Well, you can watch it off of HBO Go.
Okay, thank you. What's your password?
Not on the podcast. Oh.
Good call. Well, we're going to wrap this up here.
Yes.
Like a condom. Like a dick, because you want to put a condom on a
like
condom.
A sandwich, can we do
we're
that?
We're wrap it up like a birthday present.
There we go.
But what if they don't celebrate birthdays? Sometimes you
sandwich.
Just can't win.
Sandwich. Everybody eats a sandwich.
Not if they're gluten-free.
Lettuce wrap.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up like a lettuce wrap. It
no,
is hard
there we
to
go,
be
we did it.
It's hard to be PC sometimes.
Oh but we try.
But we do try.
And you know what? That's
we ain't perfect
all the
at
effort.
It. Yeah.
That is all the effort.
So you can tweet at us.
Minority Corner with a K on the Twitters.
You can also Facebook us.
Minority Corner with a K, their group, and then also our Corner Kids Playground.
It's blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
You can also email us.
MinorityCornerWithAK@gmail.com.
Do you notice I fed you all the...
And I like
you did
just
all
answering.
The work. You did
no,
all the
you're
work.
Doing it because
oh,
I'm not
great.
Thinking. You're
this
like, I'm like your parent.
This is great. I'm like, what do we say?
I'm like, dabba-doo-dabba-doo-da.
And also, we know that you all have lots of choices in your podcast listening.
So many podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening week after
Thank
week.
You.
And if it was your first week, we love having you.
Welcome.
Welcome to the show. And we will see you next week.
Yes.
With more New York adventures.
Woo!
The podcast, what are we? The
podcast?
The podcasting, the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
There we go. I wasn't helping
the
you.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting are still in New York, so stay tuned, honey.
It's true.
Hi, I'm comedian Emily Heller.
And I'm cartoonist Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
Do you want to learn weird new facts?
Do you like hearing successful creative women talk about their poop?
Do you want the scoop on Martha Stewart's pony?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, our show is for you.
We interview people like Paul F. Tompkins,
Kristen Shaw,
Michael Che,
and more. So check us out on Maximum Fun.
And let us mess up your brain.
Yes, please.
Baby Geniuses, we know everything. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McAvoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was two.
Butts, 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 butts.
No.
Will you change your mind?